Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Tommy Wirtz in for Andy Herman today, live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Listen to the Fan for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the one and only Adam Sandler and his You're My Best Friend tour live Sunday, October 5th at the Pfizer Forum. Visit thefanmilwaukee.com for your chance to register to win a pair of tickets. Also, the Mason Crosby Show coming up in just about 35 minutes or so here. Mason Crosby, Mitch Thunder Nellis. Massive, massive lineup for the Mason Crosby Show coming up. Camille Davis, the Locked On Bucks podcast, going to join the show. Of course, we're going to have Dustin Dopierek over the Indianapolis Star. He's going to talk about the effects on that from an Indiana standpoint yesterday. And then Tommy Lugau are going to join the show at 10 a.m. as well to talk a little bit of Brewers and Mets. Joining the show now, our stacked lineup today, Jovan Alford over at FanSided. Follow him on Twitter at Jovan10. Jovan, this is the first time we've ever actually gotten to see each other's faces, I feel like, here, right?
Yeah, I know, right? The last two times has been, you know, through the old-fashioned call-in line and, you know, the old-fashioned radio thing. But now with the new age and the StreamYard. So I'm excited, man, to talk some Packers with you.
Absolutely. Jovan Alford joining us on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law Offices. And Jovan, we haven't talked really since we were on the weekend show either together. Now we're on the big stage here. This is weekday radio. People are listening. I need your best stuff, your A game today. All right, boss man?
I got you.
All right. Do it. So, Jovan, talking about the Green Bay Packers in this hour here, we are really, we're trying to focus on optimism for today because the last 2 days, apparently, I was so negative and I wanted to bring it back and bring in some optimism for the Green Bay Packers. And I'm really not that low on the Green Bay Packers, especially from their offseason. Just kind of a boring offseason for Green Bay. And we're in this doldrum of Packer time right now. There's not a lot of news going on. You know, the Jair news gave us a couple days worth of topics. But otherwise, we're trying to really look ahead and look back a little bit. So just to talk about that with you, how did you feel about the Packers offseason? Was it an overwhelming, underwhelming? Were you whelmed? Like, where were you on the Green Bay Packers this offseason as far as the moves they made, the decisions they made? Where did you feel and fall on the Green Bay Packers?
I think I'm in the middle of whelmed and overwhelmed, like right sandwiched in between that middle there, because I think a lot of people thought, like, obviously the two biggest needs for the Packers coming into the offseason was pass rusher and wide receiver, right? And you thought that they were going to try either in free agency or even in the trade market to address one of those two positions, especially wide receiver, right? Just because the names that were out there before franchise tags and even the trade market, right? Some of the names like Debo and Cooper Kupp and Davante Adams, you know, for that quick second when he was a free agent, right, you thought, okay, maybe the Packers will go towards that route. But instead, they do what they've done best, which has worked well for them, which is they went through the draft to address that position. And I thought that was the perfect way to do so. Continue to build with this young wide receiver core, which you have, which has shown development over the years. Like, each of these guys has gotten better. And now you add a guy like Matthew Golden in the first round, who a lot of people didn't expect to be at that pick, right? He just falls into your lap, an electrifying wide receiver with speed that can play all over at all three wide receiver positions. You add that with Christian Watson coming up, with Christian Watson being still out with the ACL, you add him in with Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs is, you know, a healthy Romeo Doubs, and Dontavian can, you know, clean up on the drops, which he did, you know, as the season progressed, like drops cleaned up. And then you got Savion too, who can just be a chess piece all over the field. I was really in, like I said, in the middle between over and under of overwhelmed and whelmed, but I thought they did a good job of just addressing, you know, the needs that they, you know, did. I think a lot of people were shocked that they went cornerback, but that might have been the tall tale sign of what was to come with Jair. So I think it was a solid offseason. I know, like you said, you want to always go for the splash move because you see every year every team does it. There's like one or two teams that like try to win, you know, the offseason on paper. But I thought they played the slow and steady race, and, you know, hopefully it pans out to a successful season this year.
Looking at what you were bringing up with the cornerback situation, right? And obviously, Jair Alexander no longer with the Green Bay Packers, now a member of the Baltimore Ravens. And the Packers really not addressing that in the draft until the seventh round when they went corner for the first time in the draft. They signed Nate Hobbs. How confident are you on that side of the ball at that specific position group, the cornerback room for Green Bay? Because Jair, while he was great when he was available, seemed like he was never available, obviously. Right. Nate Hobbs, while it seems like he can be very versatile, he's really played more nickel than he has played outside, and he's going to have a much bigger role this season on the outside for the Packers, Javon.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is with Nate Hobbs is almost like the same thing with Jair Alexander, right? Your best ability is your availability, right? And
yeah.
Nate Hobbs has dealt with some injuries too with the Raiders, but you hope that he's healthy because, like you said, his versatility, which is something that even we saw last year going back with Jeff Hafley taking over, like how they were using Javon Buller, who was a safety, but putting him in the nickel. I think they like having that versatility in the secondary. So I think you have Nate Hobbs, as he's healthy. That's going to allow you to do a lot of things, right? Because you know Keyshawn Nixon will continue to get better and he's going to hold things down. And then you try to figure out, okay, do we put Hobbs in the slot? What do we do with the outside? Do you go with a Carrington, you know, Valentine maybe on the outside? Do you maybe look in free agency? Because we know there are still some options out there lurking, you know.
How real do you think that is, though? How real? Like, I think they're done. They're not making any more moves, right?
Yeah, I don't see it unless there's like some injury which we hope doesn't happen, right? I think they like this group. I think, you know, Brian Gunch, you know, even highlighted, I think a couple weeks ago, you know, the three young cornerbacks that they're really excited about, you know, Kamal Hayden, you know, Micah Robinson, you know, Kalen King.
Yeah.
You know, those guys, you know, Hayden, they got, I think, at the end of last preseason. And then, you know, Kalen King, 7th-round pick, re-signed them back to a futures deal. They seem like they're very excited. Even the passing game coordinator on defense, Derek Ansley, he was even speaking highly of, you know, of Kalen King. So they have a lot of young talent there. So I think they are really going to see, like, what they can get out of that group and really try to push them. Because if you have a healthy Hobbs, and then if you have, you know, Keyshawn Nixon there, you can kind of mix and match, because Bullard showed you so much as a safety in college and playing nickel that you really have that flexibility to be like, okay, we don't need to panic and rush out and sign like a Rasul Douglas or a Mike Hilton or, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. when he's, you know, healthy. So I think they're in a very good spot in that secondary. And it's been the same. Like I said, their things they're doing on secondary kind of mirror what they're doing on offense. A lot of young guys developing, growing, and trying to get them up to speed.
Javon Alford, fan-sided, joining the Pack-A-Day radio show. Follow him on Twitter, at Javon10. Let's keep the optimism up, all right? I'm trying to avoid negativity today. The offensive line, right, for Green Bay, it was a position that we saw expose the depth in that NFC wildcard matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. And now Green Bay, they invest in offensive line in the second round with Anthony Belton. They invest in the free agency market with their largest contract this year being Aaron Banks. And they're going to move Elgton Jenkins on the inside. Now, we're trying to be optimistic, so I don't want to really necessarily go all in on Elgton Jenkins. But how much more optimism do you have on the Green Bay Packers offensive line this season as opposed to last season? Because, honestly, it was a pretty serviceable offensive line, I thought, last year for Green Bay.
Yeah, the offensive line I thought was pretty solid for Green Bay. Like, even with, you know, Jordan Morgan not really being ready yet in year one, you know, you still had Josh Myers holding things down at center. You know, like you said, Elgton Jenkins, you know, still doing his thing. So it wasn't a bad offensive line. We've seen worse in the NFL, trust me. Like, the Chicago Bears was up there with what happened with Caleb Williams last year. But I think getting a guy like Aaron Banks coming out of San Fran, I think that's going to be huge. You look at his PFF numbers and you're not really like overwhelmingly excited, but, you know, PFF grades and rankings are got to be taken with a grain of salt. You look at his passing block grade, it was 60.5, which isn't great, 77 out of 136, you know, guards, but you look at what he was doing in run blocking, 68.9 for his run blocking grade. That was 39th among all guards last year. And what did Green Bay do well last year? It was run the football with Josh Jacobs, who had an outstanding, probably his second best year of his career ever, you know.
Yeah.
So you add him, like you said, Jordan Morgan, that gives you that versatility and, you know, seeing what he can do in year two. And if Jenkins comes in eventually, right, you hope that the contract situation gets figured out and you hope that the him at center continues to provide that stability. This Packers defense offensive line should be able to hold up, protect Jordan Love, and we know what happens when you have a healthy Jordan Love. Healthy Jordan Love means a lot of big plays in the passing game that gets that running game going, and then everything flows. So I think, as we've seen, you know, you mentioned earlier in the show, right, what the Philadelphia Eagles have done, you know, building the trenches, offensive line, defensive line, like that's where it starts at. And that's what's helped a lot of these teams that's won the Super Bowl. Even Kansas City, right, their line play. San Fran, when they got to the Super Bowl, line play. Mm-hmm. Like, what can you do in that? Can you win at the point of attack in the trenches? And Green Bay set themselves up. If everything pans out, these young guys, the rookie, like you said, Belton, you bring in Banks that comes from San Fran, they should be okay.
Javon, we're talking about Jordan Love a lot over the last few days, and we went over this PFF article that we had a couple of days ago that was ranking the 32 quarterbacks coming in for the NFL season in 2025. And Jordan Love, I thought, was much too low on this list at 13 for the rest of the NFL coming into 2025. Do you think that ranking is fair for Jordan Love? Do you think that he can improve and be in that top 10 heading into this season? Or do you think it is more of a prove-it year for Jordan Love for the national media? Because when I was talking high on him, I got a lot of heat too. It was a lot of people really weren't that impressed over the last 2 years with Jordan Love. And I think that we are looking through it of an Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre glasses prescription right now. And that's why you can't really appreciate what he does. But talking about that, like Jordan Love, 13th quarterback. I'm talking below guys like Geno Smith and Dak Prescott on this list. And I can't imagine Jordan Love is not, I don't think he's top five, but if you put him at that back end of 10, I think that's a more than fair ranking for Jordan Love heading into next season.
Yeah, no, I definitely think for sure. I think with what he has around him, and he's shown like in his first 2 years as a full-time starter, like we said, when he's healthy, like he's one of the better quarterbacks in this league. I would put him ahead of Geno Smith, and I like what Geno Smith has done, you know, this second half of his career, you know, with Seattle. But we don't know what he's going to be with the Raiders, right? He doesn't have DK Metcalf beside him. He doesn't have a Tyler Lockett. He doesn't have a Jaxon Smith-Njigba. But like, this is entirely different offense. Granted, he still has some good pieces, but it's not the same consistency. And obviously, he has Pete Carroll there. But looking at Jordan Love, like you mentioned, like, I think people probably do look at it through that lens because, you know, you be as a fan base, right? You get so spoiled with having the luxuries of like a Brett Favre and an Aaron Rodgers, even when they might have a bad game. You're like, all right, I know they give them the ball, but like 2 minutes to go, like they're going to get the job done. They're going to put us in position. And I feel the same way about Jordan Love. He makes this Packers team a contender in the NFC North. He makes them a contender in the NFC to make a deep playoff run. And if, like you mentioned earlier in the show, he was hurt last year. Like, that played a huge difference. Like, he could never find that rhythm. And I think we saw that earlier in
the season. Or even change it up at all, Javon. Like, he can run. He doesn't like to, I understand. But you eliminated that aspect of his game as well.
Right, exactly. And then that also makes things hard for the defense, because now it's like we just got to pin our ears back and just focus on, you know, Josh Jacobs. We've seen the mobile quarterback. If you have a guy that is mobile, we've seen it, right? Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. We have a quarterback that's mobile, it changes the entire defense up. And now we're playing full 11-on-11 football. And you, like you mentioned earlier in the show, you know, Jordan Love, through weeks 1 to 9, where he was dealing with the nagging injuries, 61.3 completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. I think that what kind of bugged a lot of people was, oh my gosh, the turnover bug. It almost looked reminiscent of what he did his first year as a full-time starter. But the switch, the light bulb flipped for him in the last 8 games of the season, where his completion percentage went up to 65.4. He had 10 touchdowns and only one interception, which was almost like what he did his first year as a starter, where the second half he started to cook and started to figure out. So I think if you can get that Jordan Love that has shown up the last 2 second halves of the season for a full season, this team is going to really is going to compete. Like they're going to be there with that Detroit Lions team neck and neck.
Javon Alford of FanSided, follow him on Twitter @Javon10, joining the Packaday Radio Show. another theme we've been talking about all week, Matt LaFleur. And Matt LaFleur has, we started off with pressure at the beginning of the week and talking about who is under the most pressure heading into 2025 for the Green Bay Packers. And Matt LaFleur, you know, this is a guy who came out firing with Aaron Rodgers, right? He had the three straight 13-win seasons. Then he misses the playoffs. Then he's got to deal with the quarterback change. And as smoothly as you could possibly do it, the Green Bay Packers did it again, is going from another quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback, to another quarterback, where it was Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love with the Matt LaFleur era now. But it feels like there is some pressure on Matt LaFleur to get to, you know, two wins in the playoffs for a season, or an NFC championship game again, or maybe even some people want to see, you know, getting into that big game at the end of the year against the AFC, right? And I wanted to gauge your meter on where do you think Matt LaFleur lies as far as like a 1 to 10 scale, a grade scale, however you want to go with it, for pressure this season. Because now draft and develop has been the last 3 years for Green Bay. You have Jordan Love in for a third season. You have another year of Jeff Hafley, who's your guy. How much pressure is on Matt LaFleur heading into 2025 for the Packers?
I will put it right now at a 6 and a 7, just given what the other coaches in the NFC are doing right now. Specifically, even look in the division within the NFC North, what Dan Campbell has done.
Yes.
And the success he's gotten, right? He's got last year Detroit, they didn't get out of it. They didn't win their playoff game, right? But got them to a number one seed, putting them in position to possibly make that deep run the year before to get to the NFC title game, right? Nick Sirianni, what he's been able to do with the Philadelphia Eagles. Even Kyle Shanahan, to an extent, who's kind of almost, it's weirdly almost in the same vein with Matt LaFleur of like the success they've had and, you know, getting to NFC title games, but haven't been able to finish the job. So I feel like Matt LaFleur is kind of in that 6-7 range in terms of the hot seat, because like you said, they've done this draft and develop for the last few years now. Now it's time to, you know, put that into fruition. Like, let's see if that dream can, you know, materialize, because the NFC's only getting better. You do have consistency, which is good, right? You have your defensive coordinator. It's not Joe Barry anymore. Like, you have, you know, Hafley, who seems like he had that defense like really humming, you know, especially with a lot of young guys. Again, a lot of young guys on that back end, and they were able to figure it out. I think for LaFleur, the job is now, can you get that playoff win, get to an NFC title game? I think we have to go NFC title game or bust, especially even what you've seen last year with Dan Quinn took the Commanders from
– with a rookie.
You know, with a rookie and a lot of mixed match pieces on defense, obviously guys that he was familiar with, but still – got them to an NFC title game. Obviously, to get there, they upset the Detroit Lions. So I think if you're a Packers fan, I think your expectation is for Matt LaFleur to get to an NFC title game because he has the quarterback, because he has the pieces on defense and on offense to compete in this division and in this conference.
Javon, before I get you out of here, compare the Packers to the rest of the NFC North, right? We have Dan Campbell losing his two coordinators. Kevin O'Connell just has another year under his belt. And you have Ben Johnson in Chicago has a brand new slate. And looking at the rest of the NFC North, really, you think of it as, from my perspective at least, Detroit gets worse, Minnesota stays the course, and Chicago gets better. And where do you put Green Bay, I guess, on that scale? And then comparing them to the rest of the NFC North, where is your expectation for this Green Bay Packers team in 2025?
My expectation for this Green Bay Packers team is to win this division. I think they can win this division. It's not far-fetched because, like you said, the team that you're hunting, the Lions, they're working in two new coordinators, like you said. They have some changes on their staff. Defensively, you know, they still have some weaknesses, especially on that defensive line. Obviously, Aiden Hutchinson will be back. Obviously, they used their first-round pick on Tyreek Williams, but there's that second edge spot's a little bit concerning for that team, and they have the pieces, but I think if you're a Packers fan, Green Bay, my expectations is for them to win the division and to possibly compete for, you know, one of those, you know, top two spots in the NFC this year, because you look at it, NFC East will be good, but, you know, they'll almost like cannibalize each other like a lot of these divisions do. The South, you're not really worried about a ton. No. You're probably just worried about Tampa and if Atlanta or Carolina somehow shows up in the mix, you're thinking wild card. The West is a little bit, you don't know, like, can the Rams continue to do what they're doing? Can the Niners kind of flip the script on what happened last year? You look at the NFC as a whole, you look at the continuity factor, which Green Bay has going for them. In this case, it really lines up for them to win this division and to possibly secure, you know, a top two seed in the NFC. It won't be easy because it never is, but with the pieces they have, the quarterback, the head coach, and if the defense can come along, like you mentioned earlier, a healthy Kenny Clark makes a huge difference, because it's different when you got a double team Kenny Clark in the middle, which should hopefully free up the ends for Rashawn Gary, for Lucas Van Ness, Brenton Cox, for those guys, the linebackers to stream through. So my expectations, win the division, try to get to that number one, number two seed in the NFC.
Javon, thank you so much for popping on today. Anything you want to plug, anything you want to share before I let you go here?
Oh, no, appreciate it always. Like you said, you can follow me on Twitter at Jovan10. Like you said, Dairyland Express for all your Packers stuff, for the fan side at local, and also TotalSportsLive.com as well, where you can check out a whole bunch of different other, you know, sports that I dabble into. So appreciate you always for having me on.
How about that NBA free agency yesterday? Was that crazy for the Bucks?
Man, I was surprised that they waived Damian Lillard. It's unheard of. It's not franchise altering, but it's like borderline, given who your franchise player is and what you're leaving them with. Waving a Lillard for a Miles Turner,
it sounds like.
No.
All right. Well, yesterday everyone was freaking out here, if you couldn't imagine, because
I can believe it.
No one thought anything was going to happen, and then everything happened. It was quite the conundrum here. Javon, thank you so much for jumping on today, my friend. We'll talk again soon. Have a great rest of your day, boss man.
You too. Appreciate it.
There he is, Javon Alford, fan-sided Dairyland Express, joining the Pack-A-Day radio show. Coming up, we'll get to the final thought of the day presented by Pottawatomie Sportsbook. It's the Pack-A-Day radio show live from the 1250 AM, 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.